You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
This is Dave Gahary, and I'm joined on the line with Pete Papaheraklis. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
I'm good. We're going to talk a little bit about an article you wrote recently, the headline being AFP Interviews Sheriff Arpaio's Lead Investigator. Now, Sheriff Arpaio, of course, is Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and he is out in Maricopa County, Arizona. That's Phoenix and the surrounding areas. And, of course, he put together this so-called cold case posse to investigate Barack Obama's long-form birth certificate because I think about 250 residents of his county had approached him and said they had some concerns about this, and he investigated it. And, of course, this was investigated with zero taxpayer funds. And the head investigator, a guy named Mike Zullo, a former New Jersey cop and detective and investigator who's living out in Arizona now, he spent, I think, 6 months on the investigation. Then they came back, I think it was March 1st,
That's right.
The first press conference. And primarily what they talked about was the fact that the document was not a document at all, but it was a digital image, I guess, or a digital file.
A digital file.
A digital file, right. And then on July 17th, they came back with more findings, and that was primarily about their trip to Hawaii and how they uncovered the fact that, well, besides the fact that the officials in Hawaii would not cooperate with them at all, the fact that the birth certificate could not be confirmed as being authentic in Hawaii because it's problematic in that state because basically anybody can get a birth certificate. But I don't want to talk too much about it because you really brought this matter to the attention of everybody in American Free Press, and I personally had not even heard of Mike Zullo. And I remember when you told me one day, you said, you know, hey, you know Mike Zullo? No, I have no idea. And now, of course, I know who he is. I spent some time on the phone with him today, and they really did a whole hell of a lot of work here and uncovering this information. And why don't you talk a little bit about what got you interested in this? Why did you go through the effort of finding out about this particular matter?
Since before this birth certificate was presented, as you know, there's been people that have said that he was born in Kenya and people that had sued him, starting, I guess, with what, Phil Berg and then Orly Tait and then a whole lot of other people joined and sued him to show a birth certificate. And for 3 years or so, I suppose 2.5 years, he didn't show one. When Donald Trump finally got to him and said, where's the birth certificate? Then he showed us the electronic file that is supposedly a birth certificate. People that wanted to believe that, in fact, he was born in Hawaii were calling me at that time, a specific person, I remember, and said, we're trying to rub it in my face. And I'm like, well, see? And you were saying he doesn't have a birth certificate. See, here it is. The president produced a birth certificate. So there. And I remember telling him, I said, look, he had, what, 2.5 years to come up with this? I said, I'll give him like a week, maybe two max, that they're going to debunk this as a fraud, as a forgery. Pat Shannon, I think, was the first one. He sends me an email either the very same day or the next day with somebody that had already debunked it. And then I looked and I think it was on the internet. Somebody else, again, sent me, a couple of people sent it to me. And it was just everywhere. I mean, within a day or two, everybody and his brother had debunked it and said that it was a forgery.
I remember that.
Remember that? Right. I mean, I remember even Alex Jones had some expert on there, and they all had their own ways of showing how you can, I guess the basic thing was how you can, once you put it on Adobe Illustrator, I think was the program, and then it'll break into 9 layers, and then you can move them around. And a lot of people had also pointed out to where some of the different writing on it was inconsistent with the rest of it. It was a different font, it was a different, anyway, a lot of different things. So they had all taken it apart and said this is a forgery. But the people that didn't want to believe that continued saying, oh, well, the person that said this is an idiot. You know, this doesn't mean anything. It's because they don't like Obama and all that. So when Sheriff Arpaio came up on March the 1st and announced this, I thought that was great because all of a sudden now, although it was easily provable and you didn't have to spend all this time, these guys actually spent 6 months. And this is 5 investigators, professional investigators under a sheriff's department that actually left no stone unturned so that somebody cannot come back and say, oh, well, this is just some computer hack, you know, just trying to prove that it's something that it's not. This was a, you know, sheriff's team of professionals working over 6 months to come up with ironclad proof that the birth certificate was a fraud.
And interviewing many people about it.
Yeah, of course, interviewing many people. And I think when I talked with Mike Zullo, he said that he would spend, I guess it had already been like 9 or 10 months by the time I caught up with him a few weeks ago. He had spent, I guess, 10 months by then working 60 to 100 hours per week himself.
Right.
And he said that the other four people that were part of the posse each put in 500 to 700 hours total each. It's almost hard to imagine what they did with all these hours, but they're logged in hours, and I'm sure they got itemized what they did. The bottom line is, this is not a half-baked investigation. This is like as thorough as it can be. To me, that seemed to be something that you could sort of put in the faces of the naysayers and say, okay, well, Sheriff Arpaio's got the utmost integrity. Everybody knows I'm America's toughest sheriff, so you can't dismiss him as just some idiot all of a sudden just because you don't like his findings.
Right.
So that's why I thought it was really interesting. I listened to the press conference, and I remember telling the people at work, hey guys, Sheriff Arpaio says this is bigger than Watergate. And I had seen that actually on a little, I don't know if you saw that when you were looking, you saw the conferences, but there was a short video that was made, I guess, at one of the local TV stations, okay. Probably one of the few that carried the story because it was in Arizona. And that's what first saw this sort of hit the airwaves, and Mike Zullo was on there, and he was being interviewed by this girl that she was a reporter for the TV station. And he was sort of saying what we're talking about now in a nutshell, saying how they went about it. And that's what I saw. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to hit the airwaves. This is going to be big news. And I kind of waited and waited, and it never really happened, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm laughing, but I'm not laughing because that's really got me mad.
Right. I thought the fact that the TV station was carrying it, the Arizona TV station, I thought it was an article that we should cover before everybody else covers it, being that we're usually ahead of the curve in this stuff. And I wanted to do an article since back then. And I think I had written an email to Arpaio to interview him. Well, I guess he didn't respond. It was just one email, and I'd never followed up. And then what happened was they had the second press conference. And that's when I said, well, gee, the first time they said they had probable cause, now they said beyond the shadow of a doubt, 100% proof. So I heard that, and you know, the whole story of how they went to Hawaii and found Verna Lee and all these things.
Who is she for the listeners?
Verna Lee, yeah, of course. Verna Lee is the 95-year-old woman that signed one of the three signatories on the birth certificate. I guess what you have the doctor, and then you have maybe the hospital director, and she was in charge of, I guess, documenting birth certificates. That was her job. She had her signature on there. The significance about this part of the investigation was that when they went to Hawaii, they found her, and there was these pencil codes on the birth certificate. Maybe three or four different numbers, a number one, a number two, a zero, a number nine. I'm not sure if there was another one. And several of these boxes had these little pencil written markings on there. Two of the boxes, entry number nine, that asked for the father's race, had this little pencil mark number 9, and entry 12B, I believe it was, 12A or 12B,
right,
that asked for his profession. So both of those had the number 9 on there. Nobody really knew what it meant until they found her. Who would have expected that the 95-year-old woman, and they found her.
And she was them, cognizant.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They said she was like a steel trap, her mind, right? Remember everything. And she said that what those meant was that that entry was left blank. It was not stated, was really verbatim what the code meant. It meant not stated. So for some reason, whoever filled out the birth certificate, we presume it was the mother, never filled in the race of the father or his occupation. The first nurse that reviewed this put the number 9s on there, indicating that there was no entry there. And then her supervisor also reviewed this. And then Verna Lee also reviewed it. So three sets of eyes had to actually look at this and verified that, in fact, this entry was left uncompleted, empty. Then she put her signature, I guess, among other things that she had to look at. But she said, when they asked her, could have been a mistake, and she was adamant. She said, no mistakes happen on my watch, she said. That was a key part. Obviously, that wasn't the only part, but that was one of the key parts, if not the main part, that prompted them to call for the second press conference. And the other one, of course, was how easy it was in Hawaii to obtain a birth certificate back then, and I guess still is now. Maybe not as easy as then, but still is much easier than most of the other states, than all the other states.
Right.
And all somebody had to do is just within a month, just say if somebody wasn't born in a hospital and were documented, all they have to do was say that so-and-so, you know, I witnessed him being born at my house or the neighbor's house or whatever. I don't even think you had to actually be the parent even. All you had to do was show identification and you had to show a proof of residence. And that's it. And that became official. And you had to be an adult. And that means that somebody actually witnessed somebody being born, and then you get the birth certificate. So that was the second thing that they documented, how easy it was to do that. And I think the third thing they documented with the second press conference was they did all those tests. You know, again, all the naysayers, and I remember when I was trying to tell people that this is after the first press conference, I was telling people that, hey, you know, this is a case closed. This clearly proves that the birth certificate is a forgery, because you can't take a scanned document and put it into the computer and then have it break down into 9 layers that you can manipulate and move around.
Right.
The people that didn't want to accept that Obama is an imposter, of course, were trying to find excuses for that. And they were saying that, oh, no, it doesn't mean just because it breaks down into layers doesn't mean that it's a forgery. It means that's how you optimize a document. I suppose I didn't know what optimize meant. I'm still not 100% sure, but from what I understand, it means the way that you sort of condense the information on a particular document when you're scanning it or moving it from different files.
Right, and you're ready for a lot of people to download it.
Right. So optimize, the reason it's called optimize, because that's the most efficient way that the computer uses in order to condense and store this data and process it. So they're saying, well, that's a result of optimization. So then, to sort of put that to rest, although they had addressed it from the first conference, as you probably remember when you saw it, that they showed that you can break an optimized document up to 45 layers or something like that.
Right.
But the trick was in the type of layers that these are. And I guess it comes to like 1-bit layers or 8-bit layers. It's not terribly technical, and I wrote about this, as you know, initially in the article, but then I ended up pulling it out. So anyway, so they took it to these experts, and one of them was using a Mac, the other one was using a PC, and they put it through 600 independent tests each in order to take the control document and take the birth certificate document and another document and compare them, how they behave under all forms of compression, I guess, tests. And they proved by doing this that there's no way that, you know, an optimized document is able to perform the way that the birth certificate in the White House performs. In other words, you cannot take the signature and move it around. You can't take the registry stamp and move it around.
Right.
The date, all these key elements, they don't move around. Just because it has layers doesn't mean that you can manipulate each layer, because the layers are, I don't know, background layers or, you know, it's a different thing. So I don't know if you understood that part, but, you know, when I wrote down, if I remember correctly, the birth certificate had, like, I think 8 1-bit layers and 1 8-bit layer, you know, 9 layers altogether.
Right.
Whereas a regular scanned and optimized document only had, I think, 1 1-bit layer. In other words, the real information that comes from scanning something is, I think, the 1-bit layer, and then all the layers that are involved in optimizing are the 8-bit layers.
Right.
I wrote about that, and I thought that that would really clarify things, because, again, like I said, that was the naysayers. But then they just pretended like they didn't understand the technical aspect of it. You know, so I'm like, oh, gee, you know, maybe I should just pull this out, because then they can just say, oh, this is too complicated for me, and I don't understand it. Anyway, so I guess that was it. So that put that aspect to rest, the technical aspect. Then there was the finding Verna K. Lee, the 95-year-old woman that signed this, and then also pointing out how easy it was to get a birth certificate in Hawaii. There might have been some other things also that contributed. Oh, yeah, and there was that other thing, of course, that they didn't even use the term African back then.
That's
that was
right.
Really filled in. It asked for race, and race, you know, you put African. Well, at that time, a black person was either referred to as black or Negro or colored.
Right, and it wasn't until the late 80s that they started to use African.
Yeah, 1989, specifically, the federal government adopted the term African-American, not African, African-American.
African-American.
Yeah, so this just said African, which, I mean, it almost sounds like the continent of origin rather than race.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was a secondary point, really, and somebody could argue with it, but the point is, she said that nobody ever filled the race thing as African, and people just didn't talk that way at that time.
Right.
And if they did, somebody would say, what? What do you mean? What is that? What kind of a race is that?
Exactly. So it is applicable. And I told you that I listened to both press conferences, and both of them were a total of 2.5 hours. And I took some notes, and I just want to go through some of these real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you said, these weren't just a bunch of clowns playing a little game, pretending to be investigators. These guys actually worked with forensic document examiners, and these guys obviously know what they're doing. And in about 34 minutes of the first press conference, Mike Zullo said, this is serious, this is very serious, because of the expertise that they use, these forensic document examiners. Another thing that they brought up were these PICA stamps,
mm-hmm.
and that's all capital letters, P-I-K-A. PICA stamp is like one of these old stamps that you would dip in ink and push down on a paper to have the date and everything. They had the stamp on his document, and it said 80 for 1980, but the PICA stamps did not use two digits. It would have said 1980, and what somebody did was they discovered was they got a 2008 PICA stamp, and they literally manually cut it in half. They
Now I remember. Right. Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. Separated the 20 from the 08 because they duplicated that, and they found out that that looked exactly the same.
Right, so that was yet another fourth element here, and well, fifth really already.
Right. Uh-huh. Zullo said after that this has severe implications. At that point, he said at the press conference, I'm not prepared to speak to you today, I guess, about. And he said at this juncture, because it was so serious, at this juncture, we've advised Sheriff Arpaio that we believe this should be a full-blown criminal investigation because a fraud has been committed in Maricopa County in the state of Arizona. And that's at about 43 minutes of this 1-hour-and-15-minute press conference. And he said, again, close to that, he said, the document is fake. The representations, therefore, are fake.
Mm-hmm.
And they said additional resources asked for from Arpaio. And again, we talked about this earlier before we started doing this interview, but they have ID'd a person of interest in the forgery of the birth certificate. They also have numerous sworn affidavits from people who are willing mm-hmm. to come forward. And as we said earlier, Zullo said the White House didn't produce a document. They produced an electronic file.
That's right.
And he also said, we would actually like to start with the person who hit the upload button and work backwards. And then he said, we'll probably find him.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of questions for him, which I didn't get a chance to ask. We had some technical difficulties, but one of the things that really stood out to me during both press conferences was the media. And here they presented all of this evidence. And of course, in the first press conference, it really was tough to wrap your mind around if you're not technically oriented, even if you are. If this isn't your expertise, all these layers and optical character recognition and this and that. And he admitted this is kind of going fast. So you would have to spend some time really studying this stuff to be comfortable with it. And that might be one of the problems why this really did not catch the public's attention. But I wanted to ask him, why do you think certain members of the media were so aggressive at the press conference? Because they were incredibly aggressive, and they were more concerned with topics that had nothing to do with the evidence. I remember Sheriff Arpaio was so frustrated. He said, well, look, why don't you pay attention to the evidence we uncovered and asking me how many illegal aliens there are.
Yeah, how they treat the illegal aliens, or if they make them wear funny underwear or some crazy stuff like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's always, for me anyway, that's a fascinating topic for me, is the media, because I find it so fascinating how the entire mainstream media in this country can move in lockstep. And I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what they do. There wasn't one member of the mainstream media that said, wow, you guys really, obviously you took a lot of time, you spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, zero taxpayer dollars were spent in this effort, and you didn't want to find out that this document was in fact a fraud and a forgery, which they said, and we said this earlier before the interview, and you said it during the interview, they are 100, not 99.99, they are 100% sure that this document is a forgery and a fraud. 100.
100. That's correct. Exactly.
So when you come out in a press conference and say 100, where are the people who can come and counter this? Well, they're not there. So the media did this, and at the next press conference on July 17th of this year, Lisa Allen, I guess, who was a spokesperson for Maricopa County for his office, she said that the media has demeaned this investigation at every turn as silly and wasteful. Now, why would the media, and we're part of the media, and we don't do this, why would the media actually even take a position on this issue here?
Especially when they should have known by then that it didn't cost the taxpayers a dime. So it was wasteful in what sense? It was wasteful that alleged president of the United States has spent over $1 million avoiding having to go to court. That's real taxpayers' money. That's wasteful.
But they don't talk about that. That's what I can't figure out. He also said that numerous digital businesses, because they approached a bunch of different companies, tech companies, and he said no one wanted to touch it because of the nature of the document. And again,
right.
Here's not the media, but here's corporations moving in lockstep.
Right.
And I wanted to ask him, why do you think the media is concentrating on the expense of sending a deputy to Hawaii instead of the actual evidence uncovered? And also I wanted to ask, I don't know if you know about this, Pete, but the Board of Supervisors at Maricopa County turned down donated funds to pay for sending that deputy to Hawaii.
What does that mean?
Well, what that means is that, again, no taxpayer dollars was spent on this investigation.
Mm-hmm.
But Sheriff Arpaio was concerned that Zulo and the other folks going to Hawaii, though they wouldn't be able to carry their weapons in that state. He said, so I want to send a deputy there with you just in case, because things could get out of hand. You never know.
Right.
So they sent the deputy at the expense of the taxpayers of Maricopa County. But several, I guess, folks came forward and donated funds to cover the cost of sending the deputy to Hawaii.
Right.
But the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors turned down the donated funds.
Oh, so his own county, Arpaio's own county at the administrative level there, was also working against him, obviously.
That's right. Hey, look, I want to pay for this guy to go. No, it's okay. We don't want the money. We'd rather have the taxpayers pay for it. But they're going after Arpaio. Why isn't the media asking the Board of Supervisors why they would turn down money and instead allow the taxpayers to pay for it? So
mm-hmm.
The media was just completely concentrated on humiliating Arpaio and Zulo, digging into Zulo's past, wanting to know unnecessary things about him. And of course, when they got to Hawaii, as I said earlier, the Hawaiian officials were very uncooperative with them. And Zulo said that there are no documents that prove Obama was born in Hawaii. There are no documents.
Mm-hmm.
At all, not one.
Mm-hmm. You know, one question that I had after the fact, I really didn't think to ask him at that time, because part of what he told me that I had to edit the words because I had to cut half the interview in order to write the article. So part of what I had asked, what he had said at the time, was that there's three reasons that somebody would have a forged document. And one is that there was no document and the document had to be produced. And the other one would be that you wanted to add something to the document or to delete something. And he said that in this case, it was a combination of all three.
Right.
And I don't know that I got into the details of exactly what he meant by that, or maybe I hadn't written them down. We didn't really get as far as what was what. But he did say that this document was created in cyberspace. It was an electronic file created in cyberspace. After reviewing the whole thing, writing the article and what have you, the question that I had was, if this was 100% created in cyberspace, well, then how did those handwritten pencil numerical codes get there? Obviously, there was some birth certificate that went through the hands of the Hawaii hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was marked by Verna Lee and the others. It had been tampered with, and items were added to it. The sequence number, I guess, was changed. The registry stamp was changed and what have you. I guess once that dawned on me after thinking about it later, just by virtue of the fact that the pencil markings were there, that shows that this particular document had gone through Verna Lee. Therefore, it had gone through the process there of the birth certificate. So part of this was real. It's just that it had been tampered with.
Right.
I'm sure he explained that on the press conference, and I just need to go back and verify what exactly happened. It seems to me that Obama, I guess, was born in Kenya, and then they came here within a month. His mother brought him here a couple weeks later or what have you. Or she came here herself and went and said, here, Obama, my boy was born, so-and-so date, give me a birth certificate, and that's what they did. So somebody did go, the mother did go at that time and obtain a birth certificate. It's just that the date would have to be changed and the numbers and some other key things in order to hide the fact that this was done, I guess, a few weeks after the fact. Are you clear on that? I'm not completely clear on exactly how that fits together.
And that's what I was mentioning earlier, is that this is a very complex topic. There's a lot of different parts to it. I'm glad that you were attracted to it and decided to try to understand it piece by piece, and you did, and you did a great great job on that, and I'm glad you did it, because I wouldn't have known about this, or I wouldn't have paid really this much attention to it if you didn't dig into this, because this is something that's obviously very important, because if this guy was not born here and all the evidence shows that he wasn't, then mm-hmm. pretty much everything that is being done under his watch is repealable.
Exactly. Huge implications. Can you imagine? So many things, executive orders and such that he signed in the past 4 years.
Everything.
All of it just null and void, really.
Right, but then it gets back to, of course, the ultimate problem with trying to disseminate this news. It seems that the American public is more interested in Dancing with the Stars or whatever television shows are on now, instead of really paying attention to this, because as I mentioned to you earlier, it seems like this matter, this investigation, has been brought as far as it can be brought by Sheriff Arpaio's office, because they cannot even get any congressman interested in picking up where they left off. So unfortunately, you would think that with all the work that they did and with all the evidence that they have, you would think that somebody would want to really find out if a fraud was committed against the American people. But hey, I guess it's just like anything else in this country. These people are more concerned with getting reelected. They're more concerned with serving their corporate masters, their foreign masters, than they are taking care of their own constituents. Go ahead.
It's really scary if you think about it, that 535 members of the Senate and Congress put together, not one of them, that's their dereliction of duty. That's their job there, to protect and inform the American people of things like this. And not a single one is publicly saying, hey, don't tell me that out of the 535 members, not a single one is aware of this. Sheriff Arpaio is a nationally known figure. Everybody knows him. And it's possible that they have not really heard of this. It's amazing that nobody has the, you know, intestinal fortitude to stand up and make an issue of this. It makes you wonder, what are they afraid of? And who really calls the shots to where not a single person is able to get up there and take a stand on this? The implications, when you think this through, as you just pointed out, when you think this through, it shows that the entire government is basically bought and paid for and, you know, under the control of vested interests, and they're totally petrified of really standing up against them.
Right.
So this issue is huge here. They've been able to dismiss it and make fun of it and avoid it for almost 4 years now, but I mean, it's like a gorilla in the room here. This is a bona fide law enforcement investigation that says we have 100% proof that it's a fraud, and nobody wants to touch it. I don't know what to say.
I know. In the whole country, not one person wants to touch it.
Yeah. So you have the members of government, of course, that aren't doing anything. You have the media, the mainstream media, that's not doing anything. But from the level that I've looked at it from, because I obviously haven't really dealt with members of Congress or the mainstream media, but the everyday people that I deal with, that I have discussed this with, and being that I've become, in writing about this, and as you, having watched the press conferences and having spoken with Mike Zullo and having taking the time to write it, I've sort of kind of expertized myself in it. So whereas a few months ago, when I would insist that this document is a fake and people were like, well, who are you to be saying that? Well, now I'm more educated. I can answer all these questions that the people that are in denial about it really would bring up. Initially, I remember before I took the interview, they wanted to know, who is this Mike Zullo guy and what gives him the qualifications? So I asked them all these questions to find out that, because again, people wanting to dismiss this as a fact will grasp at straws to say that it's not a valid investigation. So they'll try to make Arpaio look bad. They'll try to say that Mike Zullo doesn't have the credentials. They'll try to say anything they can in order to just find a reasonable doubt. That's really what they're looking for, a reasonable doubt that they can continue to believe that there's nothing of importance going on here, that this is just some crazy sheriff that's got maybe some kind of axe to grind there with Obama.
Right.
That phenomenon to me, Dave, Mike Zullo actually, you know, he kind of hit the nail on the head when I asked him and I said, you have some closing statements on this? And he says, yeah, I'm just appalled to the degree the American people have become desensitized to criminal activity in this country.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about that, and part of it was in Arizona, how you have all these illegal aliens that are coming in the country. They're receiving welfare, they're receiving, you know, medical treatment, education, use of all these facilities here. And the thing is, they've broken the law. They have invaded our country, they have broken the law, yet they're being rewarded for it. It's almost like something has happened to the American psyche. It's almost like we've kind of like snapped to where we just don't stop and say, wait a minute, yeah, these guys are lawbreakers. You know, the question that I ask people sometimes, and Mike Zullo had a similar one with his own experience that he brought up. But the question I ask people, and when you bring it at the personal level, they kind of snap out of this world of illusion the media, I guess, has kind of lulled them into. I guess the figure, if the media is not making a big deal, it must not be a big deal, whatever
right.
the issue is.
Exactly.
Whether it's illegal immigration.
Back. It's not on TV.
It's not on TV. Congress isn't doing anything about it. The media isn't doing anything. Obviously, then there's nothing to worry about.
Right.
So when you present the facts, then they got to find a way to sort of dismiss them, because then they have a problem.
Their whole paradigm would collapse.
Yeah, then they have to accept the fact that there's something wrong with the media and something wrong with the government, which is the truth, but that's maybe a little too hard to contemplate. But the example that I would give people in reference to the illegal immigration that sort of gets them to sort of snap out of their paradigm there and look at it is if you leave your house in the morning and you lock all your doors, throw the deadbolt and lock it, and you have no trespassing signs in your front yard and everything, you know, you lock your gate, what have you, and then you go out to work and you come back and you come in your house and you find somebody sitting on your couch in your living room and you realize that they've broken the back door and they've come into your house and they're sitting there on your couch watching TV.
Right.
Would you offer them a beer?
Oh, yeah.
Or would you get the gun and shoot them? Or would you call the police? Now, most people clearly see at this point that they wouldn't offer them a beer, that they're pretty disturbed about the fact that somebody broke into their house against their wishes and precautions that somebody should not come into their house. So they know that it's a violation and they would either call the cops and have them deal with it, or they would take matters into their own hands and, you know, shoot them or what have you, depending on how this person feels about law enforcement. But clearly, nobody has any doubt that they would not accept this. And I said, well, then how come you accept having a country that says, I have borders here, and in order to come into my country, you have to go through the proper channels and get a visa, pass through customs and what have you, medical examinations, in order to come into this country. And you have those laws, and then somebody violates those laws, but instead of punishing them, you reward them? We have gotten so used to the fact that that's okay. I mean, Obama now, he made, 800,000 illegals legal, and now he's about to make another 1.2 million or something legal again.
Right.
So we've kind of been lulled into accepting something that's just blatantly wrong here. This is no small thing here. This is like mass mind control that they've achieved on the American people.
Yeah, but nobody seems to care.
Yeah, and nobody seems to care. Right. They just take it off and go to the mall shopping, right?
Right.
Watch American Idol. After researching this and doing the interview with Mike Zulu and writing about it and then talking with people, because I've been in certain situations since then to where groups of people have been around, and I said, oh, yeah, just what I wrote about this week for the paper. And I'm like, what? I said, no, let me tell you. President Obama doesn't really have a birth certificate. It's a fraud. And like, really? Like, yeah, you haven't heard about that? I said, no. Some of them might have heard something, but they thought it was a rumor. I'm like, no, this is no rumor. I interviewed Mike Zulu, and here, let me tell you about it. And I'm watching their expressions and their mannerisms as I'm telling them, and how they interact with one another and how they look at me and questions that they ask. In the beginning, they sort of don't want to believe it, and then they'll sort of try to say, who's this Joe Arpaio? Who's this Mike Zulu? What credentials do they have? How come they had never heard of it? How come the media? But then, once I answer all those questions, and they basically have no place to escape, and they have to accept the fact that, gee, it looks like there's something serious here, rather than saying, can you give me a copy of the paper so I can, like, read it? I even offered to them. I said, you want to see a copy? I'm glad you're so interested in this. You want to read the interview? Nobody says yes. Nobody says yes. And I've had several people say, well, you know, this is water under the bridge now. Why are you worried about this? I'm like, water under the bridge? The guy that's up there telling you that he's the president is an actual imposter. And instead of, like, getting the shotgun out and going protesting, getting the pitchfork out, you know, how they used to do in the old days, right? Storming the castle. You're telling me that now you're going to vote for him again and it's water under, like, you don't care? I'm just appalled. I don't know what to tell you, Dave. It's just a phenomenon that we've seen it with 9/11 and how people don't want to accept it. And this is a similar mechanics as to the 9/11 thing, you know?
Yeah.
People are in denial. They say, well, look, this is what the media is telling me. This is what my government is telling me. And you're saying, but look, it doesn't make sense. Here's the evidence. They want to make you crazy. They want to make the evidence disreputable. And they're just in denial. And that's the exact same thing that's happening here. It's unbelievable.
We joked around about this a while ago where you'll bring up these tough issues to people. And not only will they not want to a copy of the article or whatever. They'll change the topic or they'll say, hey, I got to go.
Yeah, I got to go now. Bye-bye. Bye. I got to go. Got to pick up the kids.
Some people actually are interested and excited about these difficult topics, but the vast majority of people actually want to run away from them. And you have to wonder why that is, but that is just a fact of life. Pete, I want to thank you for the time you spent here talking about this, because you really did a great job on this topic. And this is something that people should be paying attention to. And obviously they're not, and for whatever reasons, and it might be some kind of a mind control thing. It might be the media just has done a number on, maybe it's as simple as that the media has been in the hands of the same few people for so many decades that they've been able to brainwash the masses, and they're not even interested. So Pete, I want to thank you for the time you took out explaining all this to listeners.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me. And again, just a last closing comment here that I want to say, what you're just describing right now, the most simple comparison that I can make is, it's like the book 1984. It's like we're in 1984. Freedom is slave. Slavery is freedom. What was these contradictions with a doublespeak? I think that's where the majority of the people are at this point, and it's surreal. It's surreal. That's basically how I see it. Just surreal. People's unwillingness to even know about something so important with all the evidence right in front of them. Surreal.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
We'll do it again soon.
You bet.